It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda, good morning. Prime Minister, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. I'm great.
A bit of international traipsing has been been done on behalf of New Zealand's business. The anxious nail-biting, or I hope it's all going to be okay world of New Zealand business.
Oh, business and security. East Asia Summit's a bit more security-focused. APEC, a bit more economic, business focused. Yeah, so a bit of both.
It's pretty much a double grown up, though, isn't it?
It is a double grown up. Yeah, but I say, you know, the East Asia Summit was the security focused one, and it was in Singapore. And even comparing to where we were a year ago, where the Korean Peninsula denuclearization was top on everyone's agenda, and now, you know, what a difference.
Wow, yeah,
made.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and so now it's being replaced by a conversation about Rakhine State and Myanmar and the South China Sea. So there's always something, but it is a worthwhile forum, that one.
It must have been interesting for you now that the last time you went, the position of Prime Minister was brand new to you.
It
would all been a round of hi, nice to meet you, nice to meet you, nice to meet you, nice to meet you.
This time
you would have been able to knuckle down to some business.
Yeah, it's a little bit like it being your second year at college. You know, you don't have to you worry too much about the introductions. You can get straight into things, and that's really helpful because it means as well one part of these meetings is, of course, you know, the substantive stuff, what you discuss collectively, but then there's all the bilaterals and going into those and having them as a second time, you know, with people like Prime Minister Abe and from Japan and you know, from Vietnam. That's really helpful because you can talk about the things you talked last time, what you've progressed, what you need to do next.
What sort of things do people want to talk to New Zealand about?
Yeah, so almost always you'll have a bit of an exchange of views on the things that are bubbling around. So, you know, you might talk a little bit about regional security, how's it, you know, what your perspective on it versus. So I'll give you an example of it. And with the Korean Peninsula, you know, everyone agrees they want denuclearization of North Korea. Bit of a debate now around, okay, now we've come this far, do we start easing sanctions or do we maintain the sanctions at the level that they are? And so you might have a bit of a discussion over your different perspectives on that. And then you'll go into things that are specific, like different trading opportunities. You have different layers for the nature of your relationship.
That's what I was about to say. I guess there's certain trade discussions that we like when you're having like a work, you know, meeting people from work, something for a drink, and then they start talking about something. You just have to ask, this isn't about my league. I need to sidle away here. Okay, I'll leave you two massive superpowers to chat about that yourselves. I'm not really interested in that. But
when it's a one-on-one, of course, we've always got a stake, and with everyone, we've got differing points in our relationship. Yeah,
I saw a great photo of you and Mr. Pence, and you look like you're telling them what's up. Pretty much, it was a good photo. What was that like? What was the point of that? Why did they ask to be seated? What did the US ask?
I don't know. I decided that might be an awkward question to ask, so I went straight into the opportunity, which was just talking a little bit about our perspective on trade. And some specifics. Of course, we've got we're subject to their steel and aluminium tariffs. So just making a pitch for why.
Why we
needn't necessarily have that situation.
Do they have a good answer for that or not, or is it a bit vague? Or what?
Well, I mean, it's fair to say for the vice president. I mean, the degree to which he's having to manage those individual tariff questions, it probably wouldn't have been a fair expectation to have him a quick response. But he's just acknowledged that he thought that was something he could look into.
My question also was, who's sitting on the other side of you?
Oh, I had the Prime Minister of Vietnam.
All right, cool. So
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
good mix of stuff.
A couple of times now, and has a great relationship with New Zealand. He was here not that long ago, so yeah.
Okay, if you take one, I mean, how's Papua New Guinea?
Did you
I know you didn't take advantage of the Maseratis.
I did not.
Good.
Toyota Land Cruiser.
But was it, did you, I don't suppose, got any chance to see much at all, did you really, I suppose?
No. I commuted between a hotel and a conference centre.
Right.
Although, to be fair, I did also go to Gordon's Market, so New Zealand has been working alongside the government there and a construction company to rebuild a marketplace where 90% of the vendors are women. The previous market was pretty run down, poor sanitation, not particularly safe.
So 90% men, pretty much.
rough space for them.
Right.
So anyway, we went there for the soft reopening of that, and it was incredible. A lot of women who haven't been at their marketplace for over a year while it's being rebuilt, but it looks incredible now.
Now, talk about good parenting. You've announced $3.5 billion for an early childhood plan. Tell us about that.
Well, to be fair, if the entire thing
you're just feathering the nest for your own child.
That's how much it will cost. And so now we're going out there and saying, look, what are the most important things to you? You know, do you want us to prioritise, you know, reducing ratios versus the pledge on 100% qualified staff? So really, really now seeking people's feedback on that.
Isn't it a wee bit like turning on the invisible teacher tap, though? We'll go pick some more teachers from the teacher tree.
And that's the issue we have, because if we increase ratios and we move to 100% qualified, all of that puts pressure on the system. We were tracking along nicely, and then there was a change in government, and the last government decided they only thought we needed to have 80% qualified staff, so that really changed the pipeline, I guess. So trying to rebuild that again.
I know that for just as an aside, for they've had a lot of people from overseas applying to be teachers here in New Zealand and going through the process, starting to go through the process. Is there any particular country?
We primarily focused on that recruitment drive, first and foremost on getting New Zealand teachers who are overseas to come home. And then secondly, so that was a direct part of it, because there are a few out there. And then the second part of it was then recruiting from countries that have similarities, I think, in both qualification and education systems, my understanding. So I think off the top of my head, like the likes of the UK, I think Canada might have been on that list, places where there's some basis for comparison.
Sure. Okay. So back to the early childhood plan, surprise audits. What's that about? Have there been a few people double dipping and running the books a wee bit in the childcare game?
Yeah, keeping in mind, of course, this is a different part of the education sector. You know,
it's a quite lucrative part of the education sector as well.
Yeah, it has been, and there are some things that we can do around where they're cropping up. That has been another area of concern for us. So there hasn't been a lot of planning. So if someone just basically says, I'm going to start a centre here, they're eligible for, you know, those subsidies that we provide for parents, even if that there is plenty of provision already there. And so we want to make sure that we do more planning around that, so that you don't have a new centre coming where there is no extra need and undercutting, for instance, a community-based centre. And so that's another part of the equation.
When's that all going to kick in?
Well, we're out consulting at the moment. It is a long-term strategy, and so it's not the kind of thing even that will be implemented overnight, but we'll get the feedback on what the priorities are and then go from there.
I've noticed that there are a few of your focus groups already, starting to come to fruition.
Yes, they are. So mental health is the next big one, and we're expecting that to come back in the next couple of weeks.
And the water one as well, is it coming?
Yeah, so the water, so the Havelock North report, that was obviously something that was received some time ago.
has there ever been an event which has sullied the slightly upmarket borough of Havelock North
and
more than that particular event?
Blew wide open water issues across the country. And so that's something as well that we're working on over time, because it affects local government, central government, health. Wide ranging effect there. So we're working slowly but surely through the findings of that one.
Are you happy with the progress at Pike River? How that's all playing out?
Yeah. And we're taking our time, obviously, to make sure that that what we do is safe. But we've announced we're going back into the drift.
Yep.
You know, that is significant. And so the first step is breaking the seal. But it is just a drift. And so, you know, we have to keep managing the expectations there. We don't know what learnings will be from it, but it's the right thing to do.
And how's that been received? I know that initially, yeah. Of course, there's the big PR. I was on the project that night with when Rob Fyfe came on and was talking. That we interviewed him, and you know it was all very fresh. But after yeah, yeah, now that we're sitting now, is it the mood surrounding from yeah, all those concerned?
Families have been working closely alongside the agency that we've set up through all of it. So. None of it will have been a surprise to them. They're seeing a lot of the work that's been done, including the advice that the minister's seeing. And so they have been right there with him through all of this. And we'll keep doing that so that they can see when we're coming up against hard decisions, they know what those hard decisions are too.
I asked you this last year around the same time in the Music Awards. Favourite New Zealand song at the moment?
Oh, God, you know, I've been really terrible.
What, with that baby and all, running the country? Yep.
Yeah, that's... I feel like I'm slightly trapped in a time warp of about 9 months ago.
Hey, you know what? you're actually allowed to say a song from 9 months ago, even if you want, or even 9 years, if you like.
Do you know what I'm going to say? Marlon Williams at the moment, I think, kudos to him, is getting attention that he deserves. He's incredible.
Not many people can make a whole country swoon, and he does it quite well.
Yeah, he does. You're exactly right.
All right, good call. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Prime Minister. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you in two.
Thanks a lot. Talk soon.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.